Welcome to Health Butts and Guts, on the forefront of intestinal health and nutrition. Tune in with Mel and Kelv for enlightening tales of coffee enemas, perennial bleaching, and holistic teachings. Lovely.
Shabbat shalom. How's it going?
Good. I'm just actually a little tired.
Really? You know what will help you?
A coffee enema?
Yeah!
I know. I put on my calendar to do it tonight.
That's probably why I have so much energy, because I did it this morning, and now I'm like, this is about nap time, and I feel great. I feel like I had a cocktail at lunch, and I didn't.
I was considering one, too. There's like a picture of a spicy marg right in front of me, and I was like, I could use one of those. How I probably should have had one.
Yeah, why didn't you? What was your, like, deciding factor on that?
I don't know. I think I was just focused on, like, getting our day done and finishing strong. Because we started early, and it was, like, a long day with the photo shoot, and then our meeting, and then lunch. And I think because I really didn't eat a lot, like, I had a banana this morning. I had orange juice with, like, my trace minerals.
Yeah.
And
that doesn't make you sick?
It's so salty. Like, beyond sour salty. Just, like, it's as if you chugged a glass of ocean water. Like, that salty. Like, the saltiest ocean you've ever been in.
Yeah.
But it's all the electrolytes and minerals and stuff that you need. It's, like, 40,000 volts. So I drink that, especially, like, if I work out, I'll have that to, like, replenish my electrolytes.
Okay.
And then I do...
That would probably be really good after doing a coffee enema, because you know how you're supposed to, like, replenish yourself?
Yeah, I'll do that tonight.
That's interesting. I'd like to try it.
Yeah. I don't know if I gave you some at my house before.
I've had it at your house.
Yeah, and the orange juice?
Yeah.
The orange juice is, like, the only thing I found that... cuts the saltiness down so much. Just tastes like you sprinkled salt on an orange.
Yeah.
Which I've done.
Well, you're such a weirdo. Why are you putting salt on an orange?
I don't know. I mean, I've had like a lemon. I'll just eat a lemon with salt on it.
I've done that before.
My mouth is watering.
Do you need some water?
A lemon with salt. No, and then I put turkey tail, like a tincture of turkey tail. And then depending on how I'm feeling, if I'm like, oh, I like went out and I drank a lot this weekend, so I kind of like need to just check with my immune system, I'll like do echinacea or, and then I do like a drop of vitamin D. So I did that this morning. Mm. I had a banana, and then I had like maybe not even half a cup of coffee.
To me, that sounds like literally my worst morning. Because, like, thinking of vitamins and, like, enzymes on basically an empty stomach on top of, like, an acidic drink. You know how weak my stomach is? I feel like I would just be sour for, like, hours in the morning. Like, to where I wouldn't be able to function.
Citrus isn't supposed to make your stomach acidic.
No, but the coffee is highly acidic.
Oh, yeah. Well, I wait. Like, I'll do the orange juice first, and then I wait a little bit, so it's kind of setting in my stomach.
Right.
And then I'll do the coffee. But, like, I had the banana, and then I had coffee, and I break a capsule of my lion's mane mushroom capsules in my coffee.
Oh.
And I put a little bit of cinnamon, and then I put a little bit of this, like, non-dairy creamer.
There's a lot of articles that I've been seeing popping up on mushroom coffee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Not like the hallucinative mushroom that I love. But actual, I think it's called like, there's one brand, I don't know, Four Stigma or something like that. But they are supposed to be like calming. It's supposed to help your gut. Like there's all these benefits to putting it in your coffee. Like it's a new thing. Is it a fad? Is it a trend? Coffee, like mushroom coffee?
Okay, it reminds me of something that I used to drink when I was going through my cancer treatment, and it was Dandy Blend.
You gave me some of that.
Yeah, it was like dandelion root.
Yeah.
And it's like an earthy flavoring kind of makes you think it's like an instant coffee taste, but it has no acidity, it has no caffeine, and it's like the dandelion root.
Yeah.
And it helps with detoxing your liver.
Wow.
So I used to drink that during treatment, but then, you know, like once you're done and you're starting to feel normal, you kind of go back to the things that you used to do. But
yeah.
I think the mushroom coffee is kind of the same concept, and I've been seeing it a lot more mm-hmm. often. And the other day I was like, what if I just open up a bunch of these capsules and blend it with like the creamer and cinnamon with hot water?
Yeah.
But it might be too high of a dose of the lion's mane. Yeah. I don't know if you can have too much of it or not, you know? So I just didn't mess with it. I just kept the coffee.
Yeah.
But
it's always such a like fine line on like, okay, should I like oil of oregano, right? Like mm-hmm. you should only have it because it kills bad bacteria as well as good bacteria in your gut. So yeah. if you're feeling fine, you shouldn't take oil of oregano. If you have like some virus, then you should take it. So it's so hard when it comes to wellness and like holistic remedies.
Yeah.
That fine line of like what's doing damage and what's like what, of course, what's your purpose? But then like, am I doing more damage than good? Like I always have that in the back of my mind of like, okay, even coffee enemas, like going from doing it every day, like the doctor's like, you need to slow down. Like your body now is starting to actually work properly. So
do you feel like you kind of were addicted to it?
Yeah. And people say that, like, and what I've been reading, like different blogs that they do, because I feel like I cheat in a way of like, I'm like, okay, I can go out and I can drink all night and be my wild Kelly self. And then in the morning I can detox so easily. Like, I feel like I have this golden pill in the back of my pocket
where that's it's not like, good.
No,
like you take it for granted and you kind of like push your body probably more than you should.
I abuse it.
Cal.
I know, but I love it so much. And then I'm like, that's why I'm here.
The
like
alcohol I need or the coffee enema.
Honestly, if I had to choose, I would choose coffee enema over alcohol.
Oh.
Because I love it that much.
Yeah.
But it's like finding that balance. Like I do love to go party, so I'd probably just smoke weed and then do my, you know, like there's always going to be something. But that's why I want to know, like, I don't want to abuse the wellness stuff. And you do need to, like, it's a car. Your body's a car. Like, you need to make sure you're eating right. Like, we've talked about you know, de-stressing. Like, the whole, it's a whole machine.
Yeah.
Not just coffee enemas, so.
And, like you said, okay, if the oil of oregano has a good thing to it, but there's also something that it's not necessarily good, if you're doing it, are you making sure that you're adding probiotics or you're adding something that's going to help balance out the pros and cons of it?
Right.
Because I know, like, also the dosage is also different for each person.
Mm-hmm.
And people think because something is natural, they could just overdo it and it'll be okay.
Right.
But it's not necessarily true. Because if you do too much of the oil of oregano, you basically give yourself diarrhea.
Oh my God, you could literally like burn a hole in your guts.
Yeah. Well, so whenever I've taken it, I've tried to put it under my tongue.
Oh God.
But then it's really aggressive, but I'm just thinking in my head, like, oh, it's going to be under my tongue. It's going to go into my bloodstream quickly, whatever. And then I'll like chug water or orange juice or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, there's been some times where I've done that concoction I told you,
yeah.
and then I would drop like 2 or 3, depending how like sick I was feeling or like under the weather. I do those drops and then I chug the glass and some of the oil of oregano would get on my lips.
Yeah.
And then my lips were so dry and like they looked like they got burned and I didn't know for the longest time what it was. And then I think you told me then it could have been the oil of oregano.
Yep.
Just so crazy.
It's wild. When I used to sell them at the juice company, like we would do like 3 drops of oil of oregano. We called it Lucifier because it was cayenne, oil of oregano, ginger, and turmeric. And basically anyone that had the flu, this was pre the C word, but anyone would come in and we're like...
Wait, your eyes.
I rolled my eyes when I said no, the C word.
No, it was like they were like...
Fluttering.
It was like they were twitching.
I'm so over it. But that we would have to warn people for Lucifier shots because that shit, like, got rid of flu so quick. But I mean, you, if you had like more than two of them, if I had more, I won't say you, if I had more of two, more than two of them, I was in the bathroom with liquid stool. Like it flushed me so fast. Yeah. Like I would be like, and it burned.
It doesn't even, wait, coming out?
Oh yeah. Ow. You know the skin on your lips is the same, like,
yeah, as your butthole. Perineal?
Yeah. Perineal. No, I think not the taint. Like, the actual butthole is, like, different skin.
The butthole is, like, lip skin?
Yes. Oh. So I hear. Let someone, we need to call Dr. Robles. We need to know about the skin around your butthole. Well, you think about, like, if you had, like, a really... like hot salsa or something, and sometimes it burns.
Oh, hot Julio.
Hot Julio. I call it sting ring. I mean,
oh, my friend and I, when we'd go out like at night, we'd order a pizza, and I always have to have pickled jalapenos. Like pickled jalapenos with ranch and buffalo sauce.
Okay.
And she'd always look at it and be like, "You're gonna have hot Julio," and we'd like always joke around it because it's not. Like, if someone hears it, they might or might not connect the dots.
Yeah.
But it was, like, our kind of little funny joke.
Oh, my God. I love that.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. That's cute. Hot Julio.
Hot Julio. So, you brought your vibrator to the party?
I did. Shoot. Sorry about that. I was wondering where it was. Sorry. Does that bother you?
The vibrator?
No, and they're like, when you're in like a meeting or something and then your phone goes off or someone else's phone goes off, will that bother you?
Well, I think that's actually a really good segue. It's what we're going to talk about today.
How'd you know what I was doing?
That was good count. I'm actually really impressed. So, today... our episode is called A Short Shit. I think this is our official short shit.
Yeah.
Because all the other ones we've tried to do have just not gotten to fruition.
What does that mean?
To fruition?
Yeah.
Oh, sorry. That was like really mean how I said that.
You're all, you don't know what it means?
I'm sorry,
Cal. How do you say it? Fruition?
Fruition.
Fruition.
It's like to get to like... to complete something, to get to the end.
Gotcha.
Yeah, because we've attempted them multiple times, but we've just never, it's just either the video was bad, the audio was bad, or it just didn't work out.
Or it was way too long because we talk way too much and we have so much to say.
That's another one. Okay, but going back to the vibration, like in a phone, like a phone in a meeting. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say that's, like, a pet peeve.
Okay.
Because I, like, I know that's what we want to talk about today.
Yeah.
But I think it's, like, rude. I think, like, a person is just kind of, like, disrespectful where it's, like, you know you're going into a meeting and it's a quiet time or something like that. You know your phone vibrates.
Right.
It's not like, oh, I forgot to turn my phone off and it rang.
Right.
Like, you know it vibrates. So, not you, but, like, someone knows that. So, to me, it's like, you know you're going into a meeting and you should turn it off silent, but it also vibrates. So, like, why can't you just put on, like, do not disturb?
Right.
Or something so it just doesn't have that.
Yeah.
Distraction.
Yeah. Well, I'm, like, weird about... it's so hard because right now, like, you, everyone at the dinner table, like, if you go out to dinner, they have to scan the damn menus. And that upsets me because I've worked so hard. Damien and I do not.
To learn how to read?
Yeah, how'd you know? No, but we try so hard to not have and make it a conscious effort to not have our phone out at important times, like dinner, you know, like that's your time to, you're sitting, you know, across from somebody. Why would you be on your phone? Plus you're busy eating. Like there's no reason to have a phone at the table.
Yeah.
If there's an emergency and you know someone needs to contact you, but really at the end of the day, like that's just something that bothers me because we have to have our phone out to scan the damn thing. And I'm like, I'd rather have a paper menu. And I know that's weird too, because it's like, then we're messing, you know, we're
environmental stuff.
Yeah. So it's a
very, what about just like the proper menus that restaurants have had that they just would wipe down when they were done? That's what I did when I was a hostess.
Right. So did I.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is really interesting. I loved People Watch. Mm-hmm. So it's like when you go to restaurants and you see people, like what they're doing, you're trying to think if it's their first day or what they're talking about. Or
yeah.
But then you see them on their phones and they're not engaging. Like, that is a pet peeve of mine because I try to be respectful of people when I have my phone.
Uh-huh.
Like, I dated someone before that he would like call me out for being on my phone, but I told him, I was like, my phone is it's my lifeline. It's how I eat, drink, like pay my bills, you know?
Right.
And being a realtor, it's like you're on call 24/7. Yeah. So I would say like, okay, I have this crazy deal going, or I'm waiting for this call. And I would do the disclaimer, but I would like leave my phone and then I'd like just check on it. But
yeah,
he was so sensitive to it that I ended up getting a job where they had, like, I had to have two phones.
Oh my God.
And I was so like nervous to tell him about the second phone. And then they also wanted me to wear an like a watch, one of those like Apple watches.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, okay, that's another. I think I just keep going on these, but I was like, I can't do the watch. And then when I like came home, I was like, okay, so not home because we didn't live together. But like when I went to go visit him, I was like, okay, I have to tell you something. I have to have a second phone. He's like, oh no, oh no. Like, I can barely handle you with one. And I was like, but I don't think I'm a rude person. He's just super sensitive to it, you know?
Right. And the fact that you were cautious about it, you know, you're even aware of the situation of like, okay, I know that he doesn't like the phone. I'm going to give him like a warning, like, hey, this is what's going on. I mean, what else are you supposed to do?
Yeah. It's kind of funny. It's like those, did you see this one TikTok where it's a recording, you know, and like you play it as you're recording someone to see their reaction?
Oh, I don't know. I don't know if I've seen those.
Okay, well, it's
well, I've seen them for animals where they do like the squeaky toy. That's about
or they're, well, okay, so it's one where it's a woman's voice,
mm-hmm.
and it's like you're pointing it at your guy, basically, and it's a woman's voice, and it's like, you know when your man really isn't into you when he's on his phone. And you're supposed to point it when a guy is on his phone.
Right.
She's like, you know a man is not into you when he's on his phone. He just doesn't care to spend that time with you and da-da-da. And then you see the guys look up and they're just like, oh, like totally caught and feeling bad. And then they like put their phone down, you know?
Ooh, I want to try that.
But
I'm going to try that.
Do it to Dean.
I'm going to.
Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I just feel like when you're with someone, like, you're like, well, what's more important, or why are you distracted? Or, and it's for something stupid, too. I don't know if it, maybe it's considered a pet peeve, but.
Okay. It's tough. Mm. It's definitely a pet peeve of mine. Like I said, I've worked really hard on making sure not to have my phone out at the table. Mm-hmm. So now it just makes me cringe. And when I look around and I see people on their phones, like, I'm like, what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like social skills are just going downhill left and right.
Yeah.
Like, computers already did damage, and now it's just like,
but at least you're not carrying your computer. Exactly. But I mean, your phone basically is a computer. But
I know. It's evolving. Like, it's just, it, for me, it's a major pet peeve.
Well, the Apple Watch or whatever kind of smartwatch that you see your messages,
mm-hmm.
that one, I think I could consider a pet peeve.
Yeah.
I think it's more rude than a phone because, one, everyone that I know that has one, okay, sits there when you're talking to them and they're like, they're literally glancing at it the whole time. That's as if you were pulling your phone and looking at your phone every time you get a text message or any kind of alert.
Yeah.
You know? And then the other part that's even worse of that, like it's like a two-layer peeve.
Uh-huh. Two-layer peeve.
Yeah.
I like that.
When people look at it, and then I feel like they forget to get back to you or respond to you. It's as if, like, they saw your message and it was read, and then they couldn't respond to you in that moment, and then they forget to respond to you later after the fact.
Yeah.
That bothers me because
that's an interesting way of thinking about it, because in like my industry, people are on my table when I'm tattooing. Mm-hmm. And for me, I love the watch because I don't have to get up and get
you in wear one?
I don't wear one. It's for my clients. So when their phone goes off, I don't have to get up and get in their purse and get their phone. You know, because of course I do that. I cater to my women, you know, if their phone goes off, it's like they can check it and then they look down, you know, like it's already on them.
Oh, when they're doing makeup.
Okay. Yeah. Like if I'm tattooing them.
Got it.
Yeah. Then they can just look at their phone.
Instead of like me, where I make you answer it for me,
put on some people speaker. Do too. You're not the only one. But it's just for me, it just works out well. So it's interesting to hear your side of that, like, conversation. I obviously don't wear an Apple Watch. That's like my worst nightmare, to be quite honest. But yeah. Some people love it. Some people hate it.
Yeah. And then the other part of it too, which is like the third deeper level. And this
the
is
third
not,
peeve?
This is not even a pet peeve.
Okay.
I don't know. But to me, the third part of it is it blows my mind to have this like technology touching my skin.
Especially such an how do you say it? Intravenous area?
Yeah. It's like constant radio waves on your body. And then it's like tracking things. Like, okay, I think if you have a heart condition or you have a certain health condition and that's like help, it's like a life-saving kind of thing that helps. Mm-hmm. Okay, or like you have sleep patterns you're trying to figure out. I think that's amazing technology.
Yeah.
But for me to have something on my body all the time,
yeah,
it freaks me out.
I
just don't think it's healthy.
I really hope that some people listening to this keep that in mind. Like, be aware of putting that electrical, like, literally imagine, I mean, people do Bluetooth, and to me, I'm like, you're microwaving your brain, like, what, you're driving with a Bluetooth in your ear, you're walking around, like, parks with it, like, take that shit out.
Yeah, even, like, my cell phone, sometimes, like, oh, I'll slip it in my back pocket, you know, or I'll, like, be holding, or I'll sit down, and it's sitting right here on my, like, ovaries, and my uterus, and all this stuff, and I've been more conscientious lately to just like move it off of me or throw it in my bag I'm just like, oh my gosh, but men put it in their pockets, like right there by their junk. You're like, is that part of like our infertility problems? Like, could it be due to those waves?
I don't know if that's a fact, but that's something that I truly feel strong about. Like, since my baby situation, I do not, like, with my navigation on my phone, I used to always keep it on my lap when I drove. And now I either keep my phone, like, I have a clip that connects to, you know, the little air duct.
Oh, like an Uber driver?
Yeah, I'm a little Uber driver. But I drive like a maniac, so that shit flies off all the time. Or I'll just put it on the seat next to me. But sometimes it's the weirdest thing. The cell phone will make my seat detector go off to where I need to put a seatbelt on. And I'm like, it's not heavy enough. Yeah, try it out. My cell phone makes it to where, and my car is not brand new. My car is older than yours. It's like a 2013. And the seat dinger will go off if the cell phone is in the passenger seat. So
that
then I'll try.
I'm going to try it when I go home.
Yeah, and let me know. Because it, like, then I have to just put it on the center console. But I'm very, very conscious about not having it on my lap because it is right next to my little ovaries, and I want to protect them at all.
Baby eggs.
Yeah, gotta protect them.
I do want to have an episode about this whole like the radio waves and radiation and all that stuff.
Yeah,
and also I've seen people put. I actually have a friend, but I'm trying to remember which one it was, that puts these little tags that, like, block the radio, like, the waves from your phone. So if even your earbuds, you could put one of these strips on the earbuds, and it helps to block the rays that go outside of it.
Yeah.
And then you could put it on your phone, you could put it on your computer.
We have one. It's literally, it looks like a little pocket. It kind of looks like a water case. And it helps with radiation. You can also wear like a black, which I love that you want to do an episode. I forget the stag, right? I don't know the name of the
Like a tile or a chip or a necklace, but a pendant?
Yes, and you can do, I don't know the name, the black.
I felt like charades. Dictionary or charades. I'm like, pendant,
yeah,
tile.
Yeah, that, yeah. You know what I'm talking about. But it also reflects. So we should actually do an episode on that, because my mom's been wearing them. She wears tiger's eye.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's a few other crystals. That was the word that I was looking for. Welcome to the show. I love it. Well.
Can we do a funny one now?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to go first?
No, you go first.
Okay. So it's, I don't think it's funny because it really, really bothers me. But.
Wait, let me drink first because
I don't want you to spit it on me. Mm-hmm. But when I'm at a restaurant and I get my food and I take my first bite and my fork's crooked.
Oh.
Like, I know that sounds literally batshit insane, but since I was a little girl, you know, I don't know if we just shoved, you know, like if a fork gets stuck in your drawer and you just like shove it closed and it makes like the tong go up or whatever.
How full is your drawer?
I don't know, but I grew up with crooked forks. And to me, like, I can feel it in my mouth, like, as soon as I take a bite. And Damien's like, you're a lunatic, because I will eat, like, yogurt with a grapefruit spoon. And he's like, that's rigid. You can feel it on your mouth. I'm like, I know, but it's supposed to be there. But if the fork is crooked or a spoon has, like, little dings in it, I can feel it in my mouth and I lose my shit. It's so stupid.
You know what it makes? Like, it makes me imagine the fork from Little Mermaid. She's combing her hair.
The Dinglehopper?
Yeah. Wow. Okay, yeah. So are you also, like, a texture, like...
Extreme.
Weird about textures?
Extreme. That's why meat was so hard for me. I still, to this day, will not eat meat on a bone.
No. I love eating meat on a bone.
Oh, God. Shoot me in the head.
I would rather eat meat off a bone
than to sit
and, like... Because it's just, like... I feel like there's a more flavor, and then if there's like any kind of seasoning, like especially like a drumstick, like I see people trying to eat properly, yeah, and that's like a pet peeve we could talk about later, but yeah, people try to eat it with like a fork and a knife.
Yeah,
I'm like, I want to hold that drumstick, I want to hold that rib, and I want to eat it, because as you get closer to the bone and there's seasoning, and you're just like.
Like, how do you feel if you get a tendon, though, or, like, something, like, chewy and, like, rubbery inside there?
I just bite it off and I put it on the side of my plate.
Oh! That's my worst nightmare.
Really?
Yeah, like, if I just think about, like, a tendon. Like, I'm like, oh, God.
Yeah, but you have to get out of that, because then you're just going to be like, I'm eating an animal and it's
No, it's not even that. It's just the texture of it, or I'm like, oh, I can't do it.
Oh.
So strange.
Well, if I know it's a possibility. It's like the whole like mindset.
Mental.
Yeah, I'm like, okay, I'm eating it. That's the chicken. It looks like that. It's kind of like when there's like that piece of chicken on the drumstick, and on the end of it is that little piece of fat.
Yeah,
that's like that hard
knob thing.
Yeah, it's like, okay, if I see, I'm gonna take that bite, and it's gonna be there. I'll just like kind of pull it out or bite it off.
Oh, you're brave. But you're a good eater too. I have like.
Yeah.
Issues with food.
But I
texture
love textures.
Is extreme. So, yeah, that would make sense on the fork and the spoon and all the things.
Yeah. That's, like, weird, though. But, like, food, when people say I'm a texture person, it makes me think they like textures. Mm. But when they're like...
No.
Because for me, I like textures.
Like, I love oatmeal. Like, I like grits, oatmeal, you know, things that are, like, smooth. There's no surprises.
But grits are, like, kind of grainy.
But it's all, like, it's just all the same texture.
Consistent.
Yeah. So there's nothing that's going to surprise me in there.
I was going to use that word, homogenous or homeo. What did they say today?
I don't know.
Whatever that word is. Anyways.
Wow, okay, what's yours? Do you have a funny one? Or is it, like, just weird? Okay.
Okay, it's funny. So, I'm sure a lot of people have this pet peeve, too. But, you know, when people are like this.
Yeah, I know. So
when they're eating and they're like.
That eats like that.
Are you looking at me like I didn't?
No, I'm not. But I won't say names.
Like, sometimes it's to the level of gross.
Uh-huh.
And just, like, not just like, I don't know. It's like you're like a slob. Sometimes it gets to that point.
Yeah.
Of being like slobby and gross and stuff.
Yeah.
But one of my sisters does it, but doesn't do it like she's aware that she does it. And uh-huh. She says that her food tastes better when she does it.
Really?
Yeah.
But I wonder, does she say why?
No, she's just like, when I eat, it's like, I want it to touch all my taste buds, and it just tastes so much better. It's like I'm pulling out all of the flavors. Oh. But it, like I'm saying, she doesn't, it's kind of cute sometimes when you look at her and she's not aware.
Yeah.
And you're just looking at her and she's like, what?
Yeah.
Like, we
well, it's even more interesting because it's your sister. It's a female. Mm-hmm. At two, you know, where we're supposed to be proper and we're supposed to be this and that.
Yeah.
But isn't it like not etiquette, but like a form of flattery and I don't know.
I think it's when you belch.
When you like like slurp your soup.
Oh, that would be a good one. Like cultural.
Culture. Yes. Things.
Yes. Yeah.
But I think that it is like it's a form of like thank you when you like slurp your soup really loud. But so do you get mad when she does it or do you color out or do you just like cringe?
I don't get mad because I don't get mad or even cringe. Like okay. I said, it's kind of cute and funny.
Okay.
Because I know her reasons of doing it is truly like out of enjoyment.
Right.
You know? And for me, like, I love food and I love eating it and experiencing it and all that stuff. And it's like, she's just doing it for goodness. She's not being a slob or being lazy or disrespectful, like eating and talking with her mouth full and spitting it out and like all that stuff. But when I was thinking about it, it's like the contrast of, seeing an adult doing it, but then seeing a kid doing it.
Yeah.
Like when I see my nephew do it, I just want to squeeze him and it's so cute. And he's so innocent. He's just like eating and just like grabbing handfuls of his like snacks and just like shoving it in his mouth. But
yeah.
It's cute. It doesn't annoy me. It's not weird. That's why I think when my sister does it, it's more like childlike versus when you see someone that's doing it. You're like, you're a grown adult. You've been in society for this long.
Yeah.
You watch movies, you know, like you watch TV and it's just interesting how people aren't self-conscious, like self-aware.
Yeah. No, I have a friend that does it, like a dear friend. And his wife is aware he does it. We've called him out that he does it, and he's still. And so it doesn't piss me off. It doesn't gross me out at all because literally, like as soon as you said that, I thought of him instantly, and I started laughing because it is kind of cute where you're like, oh, like this little slob, you know what I mean? But you know that they're thoroughly enjoying their meal. So you're right, like, you can't really get mad at it. You know?
No, like, it's the other, like, line where they do that. And then it even gets me to think, like, it's kind of, like, disrespectful, not of just, like, the people, but, like, the food. It's like you're not even, like, appreciative of it. You're just kind of, like shoveling it in your mouth and, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Oh, my God, it's a good one. I bet you people have all sorts of different, how do you say it, like, beliefs on that. You know what I mean? Like, that's funny. Wow. my next one kind of goes along with my last one.
Okay.
But I won't drink out of Tupperware.
Out of Tupperware?
Like a Tupperware cup. Remember like cups were made from plastic? Tupperware?
No.
Remember like when, did your mom ever do like Tupperware parties?
No.
So they have... That's right. You guys had a grocery store. You guys were way above Tupperware parties.
You guys
already had your business going.
I think there was too many of us running around that, like, I feel bad that my mom probably didn't have time to even have friends.
She didn't have to, you know, have a side hustle.
She probably wished she could have gone to Tupperware parties or, like, had them at the house, you know? But, no, I always
heard
there
are Tupperware cups. And they are basically like a thick plastic. It's the same as like your Tupperware containers. Like the old school ones though. I'm talking like early 90s. Mm. Late 80s, early 90s.
Oh, Tupperware. Is it the ones that like the lid kind of looked like...
Divoted? Like
yeah.
Like a, that almost looks like, early 80s. Like a sunshine almost. Like that divot. Exactly. That stuff. Like that thick plastic. I don't know if it's even food grade. But I would drink and I could, well, first of all, like, they could get textured on the outside. And second, like, I could taste the plastic. Like, I still, to this day, I don't like that. Like, that's a plastic so cup is, like, not my thing.
It's weird because it's the opposite for me out of drinking out of a glass cup.
You don't like it?
No. I don't like drinking water out of a glass cup.
Really?
Because I'm, like, just thinking about it just makes me squirm. Okay. So, you know, like, how you wash dishes?
Yes.
Okay. And, like, soap? If you wash a pan that you made eggs with,
yeah,
and then you use that same sponge to clean your glass with it,
uh-huh,
the glass, and then you like rinse it off, or whatever. The glass has like this eggy kind of like smell.
Like, your face right now is so good.
Like when you're drinking it, you just, like, that's what you're smelling. Kind of like you were saying you smell the plastic on the Tupperware cups.
Yeah.
Like, that's how it is with glass. Oh, my God. And there's this one word in Arabic that describes it. There's no word in English that describes it. But it's funny because, like, our in-laws have, like, they understand the smell now that we've, like, explained it to them.
Wait, so you're not the only one that feels this way?
No, like, my whole family.
Everyone understands. This is the discussion.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. It's gross. Like, it just has this smell. It's like, zinich is, like, the word that you...
Zinich.
Yeah, and it's, like, even how you say it, yeah, it's gross. Yeah, it's,
like, gross.
Yeah, so, like, if you have a glass, it's just, like, a glass of water. It's, like... I would rather, like we talked, be in the desert and not drink any water than drink it from a zinich cup.
I think Bella agrees with you.
See?
No. She's just playing games now.
Aw, she wants to be... Do you want to be our guest today?
She wants to tell you about her pet peeves.
Our mascot.
Okay, I have one more and then we'll wrap it up just so we can keep it our short shit. Yeah, I know.
Bella, which one do you have?
Okay, you know when you're driving and there's like three lanes on a road and then you have to merge, it goes into two lanes?
Mm-hmm.
Or getting on a freeway or anything else?
Yeah.
When somebody drives past you or they try to, like, you know, it's like 1-1, 1-1, and then that person tries to go in, like, two people in front of you when it's already been backed up. Like, I understand when you pass the line and you're like, shit, I didn't realize, like, this is a turn only and you got to go past them. Mm-hmm. It happens. But when you're dead stop and you know... when you're dead stopped and you know that it's 1-1, 1-1, and that one person just keeps kind of crouching closer to the bumper of the other one, and you're like, this is a zipper. This is not, you take your turn. Like, where is this unwritten rule? Like, that will, I will flip off a granny.
No!
Like, lady, know the rules. It's a zipper. It's only fair. You go, I go. You go, I go. 1-2, 1-2.
Yeah. Like,
that's like elementary school stuff. You wait your turn. You know, like, I will murder somebody. Right, Bella? She knows. She's seen me. But I also have bad road rage, so.
I was going to say.
What do you think about that?
So I used to, like, get frustrated when I was driving, right? And, like, people would cut me off, or they would be. Or they would be. Driving really slow,
I'm sorry.
Bella, do you wish you could drive?
Bella, please, it's not time to talk.
She just wants to play.
Okay, minor little...
Oh, little snack time.
I even give my dog organic food.
So. Do you ever make her fresh food?
Damien has, but no.
Oh. I have a friend that cooks scrambled eggs for her dogs every morning. Yeah.
I'm curious, like, what their longevity, if that would make a difference or not.
Yeah, I think it's supposed to help, but I'm not sure. But yeah, so I used to, you know, get, like, frustrated with people when I'm driving, and then I just get upset with it. But one time when I was driving, this car, like, road raged me. uh-huh. like was cutting me off. And then I was like trying to drive away. And then it got to the point where they clipped the front of my car. My car spun out of control. And it was right before 6th Street.
Oh my God.
And it literally, I went across. I was on the lane. I was in the lane all the way, like the exiting lane.
Yeah.
And my car, when they clipped the front of my car, it went across all three of the lanes. And it was like
busy, on the freeway?
Yeah, busy rush hour time. And then miraculously, my car turned and it went back across the three lanes to like the side, like little hill on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. It went up the hill, it flipped and slid down and flipped back on all four wheels. And I had had my window down and I had gotten knocked out a little bit because when I like came to, my eyes were still closed, but all I could smell was dirt. And I thought because it was dark and I could smell the dirt, I was buried alive.
Oh no.
Yeah. And like when I got out, like literally it was a miracle because all like when my car was sliding, I had my hands on the top of the roof because I had remembered one of my aunts was in a car accident that her car had rolled. Uh-huh. I think it went like down like the side of like the road. It was really bad. But she said that she had put her hands up and it helped brace her so like her head didn't hit the ceiling and like have like any like a head injury.
Yeah.
So all I remembered when it was spinning, I was like, I put my hands on the top and I was just like, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God, like praying. And then when I came to, the passenger side had the biggest, like the ceiling was dented in. So if there was a passenger, their head would have been like smashed in from the ceiling.
My God.
But my whole side was fine and it was protected. And to me, I was like, that road rage thing, I could have died. I could have hit so many cars. So many other people could have died too.
Yeah.
And it was because I was like upset with the driver, you know, and I was like trying to be like, hey, why are you doing this? Whatever. Yeah. And it was like not
ego
worth
gets
it.
In the way too. Or like, yeah. You're not cutting me off just so like how I said, like, it's yeah. a zipper. Like, I ain't letting you in, but like, is it worth it?
They're not going to hear what I'm saying.
Right.
It's probably going to get them more upset and it's not worth it. It's like, I worried my parents. All this stuff that happened, I didn't have a car, it got totaled, like everything that you can think of an inconvenience. And that's, thank God I didn't have an injury.
Yeah.
Like I had that.
Did that person stop and like check on you? Like,
no, they kept going. They kept going. And
was it a hit and run?
Yeah. And the witness that stopped and saw it to like check on me, they were, I think like they were like illegal immigrants or like they didn't have their papers or, you know, whatever word you want to say to describe them. And so when I told them, like, I was like, thank you for waiting. Like the police are on their way. Can you give a statement? They got scared and they drove away.
Mm-hmm. Oh no.
Yeah.
So nothing happened.
No. So I had to pay all my medical bills because I had to get chiropractic adjustments. I had soft tissue damage. I had whiplash on my neck. Like,
wow. All what a good things. Lesson though. Like, you're right. It's not worth it.
Yeah. And so I think like it's funny to like sit and for us to like express our frustrations about these things. Mm-hmm. But I think at the end of the day, what helps me not get so pet peeve or peeve or whatever the word is and like reactive is I try to just look at the person and think of like what maybe there's something going on in their lives. Like maybe that person was like being an impatient driver because they were rushing to the hospital or they had to pee really bad or, you know, maybe they are having a really bad day or they're late for an appointment or an interview or they got fired. Like there's some kind of like reason why they were acting that way and it wasn't personal to me.
Right.
And then like, I also think of like the repercussions, like how much worse can the situation be if I feed into that fire versus just like trying to have compassion, trying to be reflective of like why that person is doing it. Like maybe the person that's eating like a slob was starving as a child growing up. And now that like they have food, it's like when people are in jail, mm-hmm. and they get out of jail, like, when you see them eat, they're, like, protecting their food.
Oh, I have a friend like that. He literally eats with his arm around his plate.
Mm-hmm.
Like, heaven forbid, family style.
Oh, yeah, it's God. Sad, you know? Yeah. So I just try to, like, just think differently, to step back and just have compassion and not be reactive, you know? Because I would hope someone would give me grace if I'm zipping around town, or I, mm-hmm. like, maybe cut them off. Or, you like, even now, if I do, like, get too close to someone or whatever happens and they honk at me, like, instead of flipping them off, I'm just like, peace sign, or I'm so sorry, or, you know, or whatever. Obviously, they can't hear me, but
yeah,
I've just taken a different approach to things, because I also don't want to be angry within myself and that ugly side of me come out.
Yeah. Well, and it's stress on your body, too, that, like, you're carrying with you. Like, okay, you just had, like, a crazy interaction with them at the light, and now you have to go into a meeting, and you're going to carry that negative energy with you as well.
Yeah.
It's so crazy. I was going into my life coach, and this lady honked at me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I stopped my car, and I was in the best mood. So I roll down my window, and I just give her, like, the biggest middle finger, and I'm dying laughing like a lunatic, right? And I was just like, ha! And so I walk into my life coach, and I'm like, tell her what happened. I'm like, why do I feel so good? Like, why am I so happy about this? And she's like, Kelly, you need to have more compassion. Exactly what you just said. And she was like, what if that person is honking at you because they had to get to their kid?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, now you're making me feel bad. And she's like, what if that person, she's like, what's something that you're sensitive to? And I was like, well, I would have honked if I had to go poop. And she's like, then you need to start thinking that way. If you think it's, like, funny to, like, go that way rather than have compassion, she's like, think of people who are going to crap their pants, or they already did.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay. And so literally still, when people flip me off or honk, like, I don't get escalated. Uh-huh. Like, I just kind of like, oh, they gotta grab their pants. And so it makes me calm down a little bit of being like, instead of, like, aggressive and ego-based reaction, I'm just more like, oh, they got shitty pants. Like, I'd be honking too, you know, or they gotta pee. So I just think of it as, like, poopy pants.
Yeah, that's a good way to do it too.
Yeah.
I love that.
So just a little coping mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah, or just, like, if you can't be compassionate towards them, then just distract yourself with something else, or, like, walk away, or, like you said, just try to think of something funny.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah. Well, I encourage you to think everyone crap their pants, too, when they're mad at you. Even if they're yelling at you, even if they cut you off in the grocery store, like, in person. It's so, so smart to think, like, we don't know the reason of why they're acting this way. And rather than taking it personal, just act out of love and kindness and understanding of, like, even if you don't understand, just, okay, this has nothing to do with me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's just not worth it sometimes, especially, like, in the world that we live in now, where everyone is so, like, angry or scared and, like, reacting in different ways, that you can, like, trip someone off when they're having a bad day, and you never know if they have a weapon or they, like, want to attack you or anything like that. So it's just, it's not worth it. And if it's not for your own self, then, like, think of the people that you love and that are in your life, that you wouldn't want them to suffer or be sad or be inconvenienced because of your thoughtless reaction or words or actions. You know, that they ultimately would also be paying the price of having to take care of you or having to mourn you to that extreme.
I don't want to go to jail for throwing a crooked fork at a waitress's face. Like,
right?
Oh my God. But I love that. I need to hear those words of encouragement. Even, you know, my life coach told me, and even hearing it from you, like, it does remind me to be a little bit more compassionate.
Yeah, I for love the non-zipper people.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone can zip their zipper up perfectly, Cal, the first time. Sometimes it gets stuck, sometimes it breaks.
I know. Oh my gosh. Well, be kind.
Be kind.
Be loving. And flip people off in your pocket. Don't put it out the window. Balance, right? That's why we're here.
Balance.
Okay.
Well, this was fun.
I loved it. I have so many more pet peeves, so maybe we could talk about them later and you can help me cope with them.
Yeah, we can think of, like, funny stories. I think that would be really great if our listeners send us their pet peeves.
Yeah.
And like, or funny ways that they deal with them or just different things. And then we can, like, it'd be interesting to see other people's perspectives on them.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm kind of, and it makes you open-minded to, too, like, understanding, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't chew with my mouth closed, or maybe I should, or just being aware, mm-hmm. you know what I mean? To hear other people's pet peeves is fascinating, because you don't know what's going to tick someone's ticker.
Yeah. Tick your ticker.
Tick your ticker. Well, it's Norco coming out. Tick your ticker.
Well, you're representing. But, yeah, so send us your funny pet peeves. And also, you know the drill.
Please.
Subscribe, like, follow, share.
Tell your friends.
Yeah.
Tell your
friends,
friends.
And we have some really, really exciting guests coming up soon and topics. But, of course, send us your topics, too, that, you know, we haven't touched on yet or that you would be interested in. Or if you actually know a lot about one or have, like, a suggestion of a guest, just send them on over.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
Bye.